Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, Kings fans? If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. With everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcast, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor, it's totally free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome in, everybody. This is another episode of Making It Rain. As always, with my esteemed colleague, Joe. How you doing, my man?
Wonderful, Randon. Wonderful. Ready for another live episode. How we doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Just ate dinner. I had a little spicy chicken or whatever. I think I made it a little too spicy. Not as spicy as the rain were this weekend with all those goals, but up there a little bit. Mouth is still burning.
They were buzzing, too. Minya. What's that, 13 goals in two games? That's not bad.
That's pretty good. That's not too shabby at all. I would, be pressed to find a two game span for the rest of the season. That's probably with that many goals in it, but we'll hope for that and see if they can duplicate it later on. But, it's been a good week. A lot of transactions going on with the Kings on their road trip. The Rainer are going to start a big, tilt here with a Wednesday, Thursday back-to-back, then Saturday, and then Monday again against the Barracuda. So four games in a short span, and so we're going to see if they can make up some points on the Stockton Heat. Right now, only five points behind in the standings. You have some different leaders and everything like that. Again, first in power play, eighth in penalty kill, but as we alluded to with the scoring, they actually raised their power play up 2.9%. Just in those two games for the season total. So definitely a good weekend, and we will get to that. We're going to start with a different avenue here with taxi squad transactions. So there are a lot of people, a lot of moving parts, as we all know, with the taxi squads and COVID. Turcotte, Samuel Fagamo, Austin Strand, Vallalta, Will Lannon, all in moving parts this week. Rain got two games coming up. Maybe they're bringing some other players up. Maybe they're getting, Athanasiu off of the injury report. He's been practicing for quite a while now. What do you think about these transactions? And do you think it's a little bit more than paper? And then if there were a player to get optioned back to the Rain, who do you think deserved the most shot to get called up again recently?
So first of all, it's going to be tough for me. I'll be careful in terms of speculating if what's paper and what's a real transaction, because it's really hard to say, particularly when the teams are on opposite ends of the country and determining who's going to go where. I think it may be a little interesting if Ingham's on the taxi squad, if Vallalta's going back, if there's a chance that Vallalta could get back into action for the Rain on Wednesday. So that's one option, I suppose. In terms of a call-up, I think we're going to touch on this player a little bit later. But he's not part of the taxi squad, Jared Anderson Dolan. But anyways, I think personally, the player that I would like to see in the lineup a little bit more often in place of Olimata is Christian Wolanin. I kind of like what he brings to the game. I think he's a pretty good puck moving, underrated puck moving defenseman. Nothing flashy, but I think he can get the job done, and I would prefer to see that. I honestly, though, like up front, what changes are you making? They've dominated the last couple of games, really. Look at 5-on-5, the way they played against the Rangers. So they lost the game in a shootout, but they controlled that game once again. So I don't know that there's any reason to change anything other than people wanting to see young kids. But at the end of the day, I don't know what I'm changing there from that lineup. So
that's I think sometimes you got to make changes, you know, just to get players some ice time, you know, like too many games on the bench, you know, leads to a little bit of a rust. And so, yeah, like, you know, rotate Wolanin in, you know, when Mervari's up there, rotate Mervari in for Mata, you know, game here, a game there. You know, they put, you know, Grundstrom back in as soon as he got back, even though Turcotte wasn't playing badly, you know, to get him to shake the rust off and he showed that he could score. So a little bit here and there, but you're right, there was really not too much. Now that Kempe's back, there really is only one spot available with a Byfield at 3C now, is who plays left wing is the only rotatable spot, because it seems like everybody else is pretty much put a foothold on where mm-hmm. they're at. You know, you're not going to, I don't think you see Brown sit a game with, you know, how long he's been on his career. Trevor Moore is super hot. And that fourth line is cooking, you know, more than my hot chicken this afternoon. And so, you know, I just don't really think there's a spot there. And so, you know, realistically, you're looking at if Lemieux gets, you know, suspended or something like that for his little actions in the game. Nothing's coming down about that yet, so we don't have any idea. But then maybe you see Turcotte or Kupari, you know, slot in there. You know, I know Turcotte got loaned down, but, you know, that's only one transaction. But it's a cross-country flight, last-minute type stuff. The only thing that interests me is that the game tomorrow for the rain is early.
Yeah.
It's real early. So. True. Even if somebody played it in that game and then got on a flight, they could probably make it to New York in time if there, you know, if there was a COVID or something like that test that was last minute or something like that. It wouldn't be impossible. I know to play two games in one day would be pretty hard, and that's why I would envision Kupari getting the slot if it's a forward. But, you know, to have another taxi squad member for the weekend wouldn't be impossible to send him back on a flight. So we'll see how it goes. Most of the stuff has been paper. We said with the Kings, the same thing with the rain. Don't want too much rust to build. You know, there's nothing wrong with sending Samuel Fagimo and Turcotte down to play a couple games. Maybe they're sent back to New York for the weekend or something like that. Who knows how they're viewing it. But for the most part, you don't want a lot of those young players sitting for too many straight games because development, it only comes by playing.
I think if you're the Kings and they're obviously now in a playoff position and a playoff push, like, I don't want to say that they should be a team that goes all in for the playoffs in terms of their sacrifice in the future. I think you know my opinion on that in terms of we're still looking to build for the future. But as long as you have these guys, the Grundstroms, the Moores, the Athanasius, the Lemieux and Lazat, as long as they're here, they're playing well, play them. And I there's no reason to take them out of the lineup just for the sake of playing Turcotte or the sake of playing Fagimo. It doesn't make sense. Put them in Ontario. That's where they should be. And let them play hockey. I know the taxi squad situation allows them to do different things, but if they can get them playing on the ice a bit more in Ontario, do it. And I think the next catalyst will be when Athanasiou does make his return. Where does he go? I presume maybe he slots back in the second line left wing, and then now does Moore slot into where Grundstrom is, which again just slots other guys down in terms of those young kids. So yeah, I see no reason to keep them, you know, in flux. I would get them on the ice in Ontario. Again, I understand the taxi squad, things are a little bit different right now, but that's, I don't think there's any reason to necessarily force feed them into the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, and then if you get Elias Anderson back, you could almost see Kupari going down to the rain just so he's just not on the bench, you know, for consecutive games just to get some work in. So we'll see there. But, you know, speaking of getting players back, you know, you're going back from injury here for the Reign. And, you know, the Reign got some key players back over the weekend. They got Kachev, Thomas, and Sodergren back, some from injury, some from COVID. You know, what were your thoughts on how they played, you know, and how, you know, will these, you know, how will they help the Reign, you know, with the roster that they already have?
Well, I think, first of all, I mean, given the guys that have been in Los Angeles, so with the taxi squad and, you know, with the Kings and obviously Byfield's call up, it's a good time for these guys to kind of come back into the lineup. We've seen what Kachev can do with his playmaking ability, how effective he is on the power play, how just such a creative player he is. He's as good a playmaker as there is in Ontario, not named Tynan. So it's very evident what he can do, and he's a guy that's going to get just totally lost in the shuffle. And I for a early part of the year, I figured, well, surely he'll be back at Los Angeles at some point. I don't know that I see that right now, but for Thomas, it's nice to see him back. I just, for God, for the kid's sake, just put a string of games together. You know, I really hope he can stay healthy just to get a string of games together. I don't care so much about what he does, you know, from a production standpoint. I when a guy's just out of the lineup for as often as he's been over the last, you know, year or two, really, you just hope he can get some consistent time. He's a really, really exciting prospect. Heck of a release, good at both ends of the ice, fun player to watch, real energy guy too, but he can produce. I just want to see him get his legs back. And Sodergren, we've spoken highly about him on this show. We are big fans of his. I know I am. He's a power forward. He scores a goal in one of his first game back the other day, so that was great to see. He was a solid, you know, pretty consistent guy in the lineup up until his injury. And he missed a pretty good amount of time. So it's great to see him back. He brings a little bit of a different element, and that he can play a bit more of a physical style play while being a productive player. So these are all different players, but very useful in their own way. And they can help up and down the lineup, and they can help in special teams as well. So I think it's big to get these three back, especially given what's going on with COVID in the NHL and the taxi squad.
Yeah, I mean, you look at two of those players, Kachev got an assist and Sodergren got the goal, like you mentioned. You know, Kachev's going to definitely help on the power play, which, you know, even though they rose to, you know, a little over 2% just over the two games, you know, definitely a good weekend for scoring. You're not going to take him out of that because that's where he shines. You know, I agree with you. You know, Tom's a Swiss Army knife. I think they played him at center over the weekend, but he can pretty much play anywhere you need him to play and be effective. You know, and then Sodergren adding grit and size to the bottom six. And, you know, he's an opportunistic scorer, ironically shooting 42% this season. You know, he's just lights out in the bottom six. When he decides to release it, it goes in, it looks like. So I know it's a short sample size with only seven games, but I was like, looking that up, I was like, 42%. That's pretty good regardless of how many games you play in.
He's a smart player. We talked about this going into the season. He's good with, he knows where to go without the puck. He's a good enough skater at the AHL level, and he's got a pretty good shot too. And when you can combine all those things with his size and strength, he's a tough player to defend, and he's willing to get to the, you know, the bottoms of the circles and in front of the net to put pucks home. So, he's a good player, and he's a solid depth player.
It's going to be interesting to see as, you know, players go up, players go down, the trade deadline, how deep the Reign will get. You know, and see if they can make that push, you know, and go from there, because, you know, they definitely are a packed team, as we saw this weekend, and they're only 5 points behind the Heat. And so, you know, depending on how healthy the Kings get and which will mean more players for the Reign, we'll see if this is a type of season where they're only going to get stronger as they go forward.
I think, and we, as it's been talked about with the Kings, with how, you know, it's been a logjam, right? Their roster is a bit of a logjam, but that trickles down to Ontario too, especially now that you've got these guys healthy. You know, obviously Byfield's back, and he's already played his handful of games, and he's up, and he's probably up for good, you know. And now with the three you just mentioned coming back, so it's a situation where it's a good problem to have, but at some point, probably something's going to have to give, and we'll see what that is. And whether the Kings are going to look for some veteran help at the deadline or somebody with term at the deadline, and who that could mean going from Ontario, if anyone, we'll see what happens. But a good problem to have, that's for sure. And it makes trying to predict a lineup for the AHL and for Ontario borderline impossible to know who's going to be in the lineup tomorrow, right? On Wednesday morning. So, but we'll see.
Well, it looks like my camera went back to Russia with all this waves here, but we're going to try to get through it here. Let's move on. Under the radar. So we're talking about which player here being under the radar, and that's Jared Anderson Dolan. Having a very low-key season, you know, and you look at him being on the fans' tongue at the beginning of the season, him or Lizotte, wanting him to be 4C, all this kind of stuff. You wrote a great article about why Lizotte should be it, and he's proving that he's a very valuable player in the way he's playing. Right now, I believe he's on pace, Lizotte, for 10 goals, and as a 4C, like, you can't really be mad at that, at how well and that line is playing. And so with the Byfields and the Turcotts and the two defensemen, Granz and Spence, that came up, and all these players, it seems like Jad kind of got thrust down, playing 3C on the rain, not really getting that pub that he might have gotten earlier in the year with how well Lizotte is playing, having a very effective season.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to pump our own tires a little bit here, because I think he may have been maybe under the radar for a lot of Kings fans, but I don't think he has been for us. I think we've talked about him on this show. In my opinion, other than Ferk and Tynan, who are on totally different stratospheres, Jared Anderson Dolan has been the most consistent and the best forward in the Ontario lineup.
He's been the third best player on the team all year.
Yeah. He really has been. And that's why when there was a lot of the people, you know, the talk about Turcotte coming up, I was like, well, he's not even the next best forward here. Jared Anderson Dolan is. And he can do a lot of the same type of energy things. And he scored at the NHL level, right? I mean, I questioned his shooting percentage and whether or not it was sustainable. But the fact is, he put pucks in the net at the NHL level. And I think the only thing that's hurting him right now is Blake Lizotte, right? Yeah. And I mean, I talked about it at the start of the season, but I didn't necessarily envision a ton of offense coming from Lizotte like we've seen at times this season. But the way he plays the game, he's a good defensive center. And he works hard. He creates turnovers. He draws penalties. He's a really, really effective player. And I think if it weren't for the season that Lizotte's having, we may see Anderson Dolan. But it's a situation where the Kings and Rob Blake have used, you know, this is how they're managing their assets in terms of, we got guys that can go down to Ontario. They don't have to clear waivers. We're going to utilize that to the best as we can use. And it hasn't hurt them. The Kings are in a position where I don't think a lot of people thought they'd be in the standings. So
no, that line is buzzing. I mean, that line is buzzing. I mean, you have Lemieux, who's having such a great year that nobody really thought. Yeah. Kupari is having a productive season out of on the fourth line with the second power play, you know, scoring enough to be effective, learning how to play defense.
Kaliev.
A little bit more. Kaliev, yeah.
Yep.
And so Lizotte's doing exactly what I thought he would do. But, you know, when you have that effective scoring you saw from Jad last year, you know, that's always on the back of the mind, because as we saw and a lot of people have posted, you know, their goals expected is last in the league. They're not scoring. I believe Russell, one of our writers, said that they are, if they even shot league average, they would be fifth in the league in goals. So they're just not scoring. And so when Jad was scoring last year, that's why everybody was clamoring for him.
And that's and given how the season has gone, that's fair, because we all had a crystal ball, but we don't know if you take Jod and you plug him into the NHL, if he's going to shoot near 20% again. If you knew he was going to do that, well, then maybe he's there. But it's just hard to take Lizotte out of the lineup, I think, at this point. He hasn't done anything to play himself out of it. And so I just think for Anderson Dolan, he's just caught in a numbers crunch. And I think we had a question on the live show last week as he kind of lost his place. I answered, and I still believe it. I don't think so. I think he's growing into a solid, you know, depth player that can probably play. I see him as a guy that when he does get into the NHL, because I think the way his growth is going, he's going to be an NHL player. And maybe he's consistently like a third line, sprinkle fourth line here and there. But I also think he's got the skill set that he can – you see what Trevor Moore's doing. He plays up and down the lineup. He'll play fourth line, he'll play second line. I think Anderson Dolan can has that ability. I mean, you see him play power play in Ontario. He's playing both specialty teams unit in Ontario. He's getting a lot of ice time, and I think he's doing a hell of a job. He's been an awesome player for them. It's just a situation of numbers. And that's part of the reason why I said before – now, I don't know where that Anderson Dolan fits necessarily, maybe the need, but I think the Kings are deep in their organization at forward to where if they're to make a move come deadline time, like we talked about last week, do it on the back end, because I think they've got forwards that they can plug in place throughout the lineup from Ontario into the Kings that you can not miss a beat, and it ain't going to hurt you, I should say. So, and he's one of them.
Yeah, you look at the season he's having. Let's go through some stats here. He's third on the team in points, second on the team in power play goals, sixth on the team in points per game, third on power play assist, and he's shooting 21.2% on the season, which I believe is third overall outside the outliers of Johan Sødergren being 40-something only with seven games. And so you're looking, he's being effective. I think you're right, the fact that if, you know, Lazat were to go down, I would feel completely comfortable with Jad being on the fourth line and coming in. And then anything at the trade deadline, he's still a second round pick. He's having an effective season. He could be a piece where a lower level team where he could play 3 or 4 C for that team as well. So then you're getting a piece that is already developed that could play that year for whatever team you're trading with and could be a piece going into next season that can be effective on your team right away. The thing with prospects is you don't know always how they're going to perform. So when you get first round picks, or you get a guy who, you know, say like a Tyler Madden, right, who was a third-round pick, had a good year in college, but he's still an unknown as far as his size going into the pro ranks, where Jad has proven it already in the AHL level.
So let me ask you this with Anderson Dolan, because I'm asked – this is a question that I'm – you know, how do we look at this? He has 11 goals in Ontario, which is great. 8 of them on the power play, which is third best in the American League, by the way. Okay, so file that away.
One other guy ahead of him is Ferk.
Right. He has 12 assists, half of those on the power play. So he has 14 power play points, which is among – if it is among the league leaders in the American Hockey League. So, yes, he's producing in the AHL. He's probably not going to be put in – to a power play role in LA if he gets called up and was to play. So is the expectation that he's going to produce at the levels he's doing in Ontario, which is all special, a lot special teams. And then you're going to ask him to do the same thing 5-on-5 at the NHL level. So do you see what I'm saying like that? That's where it's careful. You have to be careful when you're looking at just his overall points. Cause as you've pointed out, his power play has been so effective. He may not see that power play time in Los Angeles. He probably won't, right? Let's be honest. Maybe on the second unit. So I don't know if it's fair to say, well, look at how well he's performing in Ontario. He can do that with the Kings. He did it last year. Well, there's a lot of, it's a lot of special teams right now in Ontario. I don't want to take that away from Anderson Dolan. It's just, let's not just say he can do it 5-on-5 in Ontario or in Los Angeles if he were to get called up. You see what I'm saying? Does that make where I'm
no,
going?
No, I get what you're saying. And I think you're looking at, will Todd McClellan use him the way he's being used in the rain? Is because I think, you know, Todd McClellan's has been pretty strict, you know, on leaving certain players in there that maybe, not to say don't deserve it, but maybe like you could have tried Kaliev on the first power play more than what he has been. And it's been mainly second power play. You know, you could say, hey, Brown hasn't been as effective this year as he was on the power play last year. Maybe he takes over for Brown in that that lower role there, you know, and who knows what the team is going to look like next year, right? We said almost over half the contracts are going to be either UFA or RFA. So I just want to think of the positive here. One, you and I both said that he needs to develop a skill, that skill being effective on one of the special teams to earn ice time. He's done that this season on both.
Yep.
To earn ice time, and not on the rain, but on the Kings if he were to get called up. So next season, most likely he's our 4C. Most likely. You know, I don't foresee them signing Lazat back just because of how many prospects we have. It's not offense to Lazat. And, you know, somebody asked me on Twitter today, you know, do you think they've signed on Lazat, how effective he's been? I say no. And you wouldn't trade him away either because the fact that the pick that you're going to get for Lazat is minimal with a team that's full of prospects, full of picks anyways. Yep. You're playing for this year. And then so if Jad steps in next year and then he's effective on the penalty kill and he could be on a power play too next season, he's learning those skills for a reason. You know, this season might not be as effective as far as because maybe there's no spot on the power play or maybe he's not as trustworthy of an asset to Todd McClellan with him not practicing or seeing him in practice or earning that in practice and just shoving him in, right? You could shove Furk in because his best asset is his shot. Same thing with Kalia. But when you put players who like are in the bumper role or they're down below the net, that's a lot has to do with chemistry and sight and knowing where players are going to do what. Is Kopitar going to go down? Is he going to go up when I do this? Where Brown has that pretty much memorized and Jad would have to learn that, you know, maybe not this season, but I you know, the long-winded answer would be, yeah, I could see him in a power play role next season. And I still think he could be an effective player because he still does penalty kill for the Reign. And that's what Lazat's asked to do.
I agree. And I think next year is probably where we see him in a much more of a established role with the Kings. Again, it's a numbers game, you know, and I think you're seeing it. You saw it the other day with McClellan where he's in as much as there's noise about play the kids and you know, Byfield and I've, you know, he's got to win games right now. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't. Byfield probably should have played a little bit more yesterday, particularly in overtime. So obviously McClellan sees this differently and he has to lean on who he trusts. And he just probably isn't a guy that trusts the young kids very much right now. Right or wrong, I'm not necessarily here to opine on that. It's just the Kings are in a spot where they're actually in a playoff position. And so Todd McClellan has to win games. And if he doesn't trust some of the young guys yet, then they're not going to see the time. And that means a guy like Lazat's going to stay and Anderson Dolan's going to wait in Ontario until his time comes. But
which might be unfair, right? Turcotte had what, 3 games? Didn't really, he was good enough to be in the NHL, but he didn't score any points or do any of that kind of stuff. He didn't force his hand. Dersey came up, yes, forced his hand by scoring.
Great
goals.
Example.
Yeah. Kaliev came up,
yep,
earned his trust playing more sound defensively. Right. And so you have these players that come up and earn that trust. Byfield's the second overall pick. Chances are he was going to be the third C at the start of the season without his injury anyways. Maybe he already earned that trust with T-Mac, you know, in camp.
Fair.
And so it's like you have all these players who, you know, fair or unfair, have to come up, score right away to keep their spot, which is not necessarily fair with maybe 2 or 3 game sample size, right? Samuel Fagimo played well, in my opinion, but are you going to, you know, with Kempe having the season he's having, you're right, not going to, and right, then Trevor Moore has been lighting it on fire. So then where does that put you? Then he's playing with Grundstrom, who, you know, is on our team. I think he has 7 goals. I mean, he's one of the top scorers playing bottom 6 minutes. He's not afraid to hit. He grinds down in the lower areas. He got in a fight the other night, you know, so like he's doing the things that coaches like to see, right? He can score if he wants. He's pretty good at passing, can make some plays inside, and is not afraid to get physical, which, you know, the Kings being a speed team, you know, they need a little bit of that physicality. And I think that's why Lemieux is being, or that line, that whole line, but mainly because of Lemieux, you know, having that grit is being trusted more in the third period than, you know, the third, quote unquote, third line that you see on the docket.
Yeah. I think that you hit the nail on the head when it comes to, you know, fair or unfair. You have to come in and you have to show that you can make an impact right away. And like a guy like Dersey did that. And I'll be honest, I think Byfield has had he's had a couple of pretty good opportunities that have just missed. I think that it's going to come for Byfield and I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be here to stay. Turcotte, I think, just needs more seasoning. That's all. And he's, because I don't think, and this is what the conversation we had a month or so ago was, who is he coming up for and who is he replacing in the lineup and what is he bringing that's any different that's in the lineup? Nothing, really. Like, what is he different? What is it going to be that much different than Carl Grundstrom? I don't know. Is it worth it to to lose a player like Runstrom that they may deem as a depth piece just to force Turcotte into the lineup? Why? Let him play Ontario.
With the taxi squad, and I know the regulations for COVID have went down, but it's still a fear of losing a player for two or three games. And then, you know, you send a player like, you send Grunstrom down. He gets picked up on waivers. So I don't think he's waiver exempt. And then somebody gets COVID. And then you're bringing up another guy, and then the rain are depleted. So I think they're just playing right now. And, you know, we'll see if the package, you know, for Chychrun or whoever else they're going for, or if they think that, you know, a player like Jared Anderson Dolan or like, Samuel Fagamo or Martin Furk are so hot down there that they feel okay trading away an Athanasiou or Elias Anderson to make room, they got to earn it. And like Kapari, when he first came up, had a good start, right? He was in the center circle. He was over 53%, had a goal and a couple assists in his first, you know, couple games there. And then it was just kind of stale. And so I think you look at, okay, well, Byfield is ready to go. Let's give him a shot. So it's a really tough situation. I want to see all the kids play as much as everybody else. But now that we're in second place, I want to win more than anything else. So, you know, if I have to wait another year, which is kind of bumming me out, you know, this is having, you know, the number one prospect pool for so long, and you want to see these guys come to fruition. But we're seeing on the rain, and that's who we're covering. We're seeing all these talented people there. And to bring it back around full circle, I think, I know we're doing the midway point episode next week, but, you know, just a spoiler, I think Jad's the most improved player probably on the team from last season. And I think he's earning every single second of ice time that he has been given.
Couldn't agree more.
All right. For everybody in here, this is a live show, as you guys have seen. So if you guys want to put your questions in the chat, Joe and I would love to answer them. Let's move on. Roadrunner Weekend. That was a lot of R's, and I failed at the weekend pronunciation, but you will forgive me. Two games against the Roadrunners, plenty of goals. So if you want to go back on AHL TV, I know they lowered the price for this because they're halfway through the season. They have a lot of these games backed up, and you can just watch the cavalcade of goals for both sides go in. Let's talk about the first game. The rain wins 7-3. It was quite an interesting game. Some stuff that we really like to see, you know, the power play or the penalty kill has been really the issue all year long for the defense, right? The rain leading the league in, I believe, 3.96 goals per game and having to outscore their opponents. But, you know, a solid 3-for-3 on the penalty kill, no power play goals for the Roadrunners, having to do a 5-on-5. The rain came out hot in this one.
I mean, that's an understatement. They completely dominated the opening 20 minutes of that game. I think the shots were 14-3 in the first period of that game. They scored three goals. It took a while for them to come, but they did. And you know, this is what's going to make this team, the rain, as the rosters eventually get somewhat settled. I hesitate to say settled, but look at the goal scorers in this game. They ran the gamut. You know, Johan Södergran in his first game back puts a goal in. Furk again. Wagner, Aiden Dudas gets on the board in this game. We talked about Anderson Dolan. So that's pretty spread out, which is nice to see. And, you know, we didn't even hear some of the other bigger names get on the score sheet. So they're going to be able to come at teams in waves. And this was an example of that, where they just completely dominated the game. They get three goals in the first period and just made a team like Tucson chase a game that they don't have, frankly, the capability to chase, particularly if they're not going to be able to put pucks in on the net or pucks in on the power play. So, Furk gets the hat trick and Spence with three more assists. And oh, by the way, TJ Tynan, three more assists. No surprise there, but a dominant performance from the rain all around.
Yeah. You look at, like you said, and what the Kings have been doing, the Kings have been out shooting everybody, and the rain are doing the same exact thing in this game. And so, you look at, like you said, three goals in the mat in less than 2 minutes, just bang, bang, bang right away, up 3-0. And then it looks like a whole different ball game. We were in one of those typical periods where we've seen from the Kings this year, where they just outshoot and dominate the whole period and don't score, or the other team scores in the last minute. I know we were joking in our our business chat the other night our fearless leader, Ryan Sykes, was like, this seems like the time where the Kings are going to give up a last minute goal and we've dominated the whole period. And it happened. The rain did not let that happen. They put the foot on the throat in the first period and justified the outshooting them 14-3. You know, you had, like you said, you had some odd characters scoring goals on this one. Sødergren comes back, gets the first goal, third of the season. Spence keeping up his assist train. Wagner with 2 points in the period, Tiny with 2 points, and Burke with 2 points in the period. So some multiple point games already after the first 20 minutes.
And, you know, the thing with the Kings versus the rain, you mentioned the Kings shooting percentage earlier this podcast. The Rain do not have that problem. They have the number one shooting percentage, in the Western Conference, and it's third overall in the AHL at 13.54. The AHL average is just a tick over 10. So they do not have a problem putting pucks in the net. So that's a big reason why we see this team just being able to score almost at will at times is their ability to put pucks in the net. And, you know, there's the argument that, well, how sustainable is, you know, that high of a shooting percentage and yada, yada. But as I just alluded to, when you're getting the scoring across the lineup like they're getting, that's pretty dangerous. And I think that is sustainable.
Yeah, I think you're looking at a team who is stacked, right? Play the kids, play the kids. Well, if they're not playing the kids and on the Kings, they're all down here. And so, you know, it's going to be something that we're going to see more and more of as the rosters get packed. I mean, not to beat a dead horse, but if the Kings get healthy and towards the end of the season, and if no moves are made, you're going to see a very stacked Rain team going into the playoffs where they can definitely beat anybody. Moving into the second period, you see Tucson finally get back on the board. We go up four with Aiden Dudas's the back-to-back goals with a high draft pick Jan Jenik and then Travis Barron there. So back-to-back. And then, you know, the guy who never stops chugging, Martin Furk, on the power play from none other than TJ Kynan and Jordan Spence.
Amazing. And again, that's a credit to his power play goal. Spence at the top, over to the right circle, and the half wall to Kynan, cross seam over to Furk, one-time goal. Shocker. We've seen it a billion times this year. But again, credit to Spence. That was Dursey's spot, and Dursey excelled at it. And Spence has just stepped in almost seamlessly. He's looked so, so good. Jordan Spence has, and I can't say enough about him and how good he's looked this season. And it's great. It's great to see the production come with it too, right? I mean, sometimes you see guys playing well, but now he's also producing. He's a weapon on the power play, so it's great.
Yeah, I saw this tweet from somebody, I forget who it was, but they showed all of Ovechkin's power play goals, and it was like the half the ice was just blue dots from where he scored, and the right side of the ice. Zero goals in his entire career from the right side of the ice on the power play. It was all in Ovi's kitchen. And I'm sure Martin Furk's shot profile looks something similar this season with him scoring goals on the power play from over there. So moving into the third, you know, the Tucson puts a little bit of pressure on him, outshoots some 15-7 in the second. So, you know, but what happens there before the third period, Jared Anderson Dolan gets one from the Swedish connection of Helge Granz and Jacob Rivari. So, you know, you're going in there, man, just humming going into the third period, kind of put a kibosh on maybe a comeback from Tucson with their two goals in the second. And then they don't waste any time with Ferkster getting his second power play goal of the game in the third.
Yep. And again, it just continues to be impressive. Jordan Spence again, making things happen. And Jared Anderson Dolan in front of the net too. So it's just things are clicking right now. That PP is still clicking. It's just that, and that obviously puts the game, if it wasn't already out of hand, well out of hand. So it's good to see them finish the game off strong.
Yeah, shooting Martin Furk with 50% shooting percentage had 6 shots, 3 goals. First star of the game with 3 goals. Tynan had 3 assists, second star of the game. And Jordan Spence had 3 assists there for the second star of the game. The start on that game was Jacob Ingham. Yep. Pretty decent night there. And we'll get to his gameplay this weekend a little later on in a different topic. So we'll move on to the next game there for the Tucson Roadrunner. This one was a little bit closer, 6-5. A little bit of back to forth in the first period. But the Tucson Roadrunners get it started early with Carson. With a goal on the power play halfway through the first.
There was a lot of power play goals in that first period.
Four
to be exact. So
nobody special teams defense was doing anything, but thank you. There was six penalties and four power play goals. So that tells you everything you need to know right there.
And to nobody's surprise, Martin Furk chipped one into a power play goal himself in the first period. So, yeah, you know, listen, you expect a little bit of a response from, you know, a team gets more or less blown out, you could say, the night before. So a little bit of a better effort from Tucson in the first period, which, again, I think is to be expected. And, you know, Ontario, yeah, figured they were due. They went 3-for-3 on the kill the night before, so they probably weren't going to kill much, if anything, in the next day. And sure enough, they give up two in the first period. So on the Tucson's power play. So again, stuff's going to happen. And the way the penalty kill has been going this season, it's just, they haven't been able to string together, you know, games of not allowing power play goals. There's been only a few games this season where that's happened. So unfortunately, that's the one thing that's kind of the dark.
It's killing both clubs.
Yeah.
It's killing both clubs.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, familiar aspect here with the Jared Anderson Dolan getting his 10th goal of the season. So getting back up to double digits and Gabriel Vilardi with a nice apple on that goal as well. Scrolling in the second period, this is when the rain really pushed it forward. Three straight goals, starts it early with a goal from Cameron Gaunce. You know, Furk can also pass it too with an assist there from him and Braden Burke. And then Braden Burke gets fed for his 5th goal of the season. From Furk and Helge Grantz just started off quick.
You know, like we talked about last game, again, look at the goal scorers in this second period. Cameron Gaunce puts a puck in the net. Braden Burke puts a puck in the net. And when you're getting contributions like this, when you know that the way Tynan and Furk are, that they're going to be getting points on a nightly basis, and when you're also going to be chipping in Dudas, who scores later in this game too, Braden Burke chips in, you get points from the defense. You know, as Akil Thomas gets his feet under him, I mean, Kachev is back now. So Sodergren, we talked about earlier. So the depth of scoring for this team is going to be really, really hard for teams to handle.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that's crazy there and how good they are consistently. Jarenson Dolan double up on the power play, gets his 11th of the season with another assist from Vilardi. Moving on to the third period, ex-Rain, ex-King draft pick Cole Holtz gets his 3rd of the season for the Roadrunners. We saw that in the trade earlier in the offseason. And then Aiden Dudas with assist from Kachev and Castetol. So just kind of poured it on, really, even though it was closer than what it looked like. I didn't think that at least in my opinion, it didn't feel like a panicky end of the third period. Did it for you?
No, it didn't. It didn't. I mean, it seemed like a game that it felt like they always had in hand. And you know, the late goal, okay, it puts a little bit of pressure on, but it never was a game that it felt like that Tucson was overly dominating that third period or anything like that. And I'm going to just shout to Aiden Dudas. It was good to see him put a couple in back-to-back like that. He had gone a long stretch without scoring goals midway, or, you know, a little earlier in the season. So nice to see him, you know, put a couple of games together. He put some pucks in the net.
Yeah, it's good to see. You got to have that bottom six score as well. And so, you know, coming in, I would say the only downfall for the weekend is the penalty kill. We saw the percentage go up again, first in the Pacific Division there with 28.3% on the power play. Eighth, they went down 0.3% with a 73 overall on the season, and so not great. Like I said, we're only 5 points back from the Heat. That's going to be something that's going to be big, right? Because we talked about it a couple episodes ago that they're. Their special teams has really held them up this whole season.
Yeah, and the only good thing about the upcoming games for Ontario in that regard is the only team with the worst penalty kill is San Jose, and that's who they've got tomorrow and Thursday. So
worst penalty kill, best power play. That should be. We should see some the lamps lit.
That could get dangerous if San Jose's going to head to the box.
Yeah. So let's speaking of in between the pipes. Ingham got both games this weekend. We saw Matty Vallalta on the taxi squad sent back down today, and Ingham got sent up. So maybe they're just doing a little switcheroo, getting some Vallalta some games. We'll see for sure tomorrow with the transactions that happened before game time and everything like that. But What was your impression of Ingham in these two games? Obviously gave up a fair amount of goals in a two-game span. As you know, a lot of power play goals, three of them there. But still some five-on-five stuff. Did you like the way you saw from the net? A little bit bigger of a goalie than what we see from Villalta.
So I really liked his – he played one game early in the season against Abbotsford, and I really liked that game. I thought he played very well. He didn't end up getting a win. They lost in overtime. But I thought he played very well. And he was okay. And he's like – I mean, let's call spade a spade here. He gave up, what, 8 goals in 2 games? That's a lot of goals to give up in a couple of games, no matter how you slice it. So he was fine. I don't think it's anything necessarily to write home about. And if, you know, he's had that type of season in the ECHL, frankly, with Greenville, he's got an .895 save percentage down there. So it's been a little bit of a grind, it seems, for him this season in general. So, I think coming into the season, like looking at the goaltending prospects as a whole, that was a big talking point of there's nothing coming behind Cal. And, you know, I think we've seen some bright spots, right? We've seen Villalta play well. We've seen Parikh kind of step in, and his feet have gotten wet now, and he's played okay. I thought Ingham had a really good first start in Ontario early in the season. The season's been so-so. I'll be honest, haven't watched Greenville, so I'm not going to comment too much on his play, but the numbers aren't strong.
I'm still waiting for my login and password to the Swamp Rabbits live feed.
And you know, these last couple games, it doesn't help. It's a very good point that 3 of the goals were power play goals, and he's playing behind a team that has had one of the worst power penalty kills in the American Hockey League. So that's not going to help him. So, all in all, it was okay. It was adequate. He picked up a couple of wins, which is probably nice to see too for him.
Yeah, that, you know, it's something we talked about. You mentioned it, and we talked about it in the preview for the season episode, back on episode 1 or 2. About how, like, the goalie position for after Cal Peterson's up in the air, right? They had David Hrenek, who remains unsigned, who had a decent year in college this season. Last year brought his team to the NCAA championship. I forget if they won or not. I should have done more research on that. I apologize, fans. But we have, you know, Lucas Parikh. We have Jacob Ingham. Matty Villalta. Nobody's really taken the reins. And I think Villalta got first crack at it because of his seniority. But we assume that even next season, it'll be Quick and Cal Peterson in the pipes again, because Quick is still under contract. And so that'll be another season as a pro for Villalta. That'll be it. And maybe they won't get a veteran third goalie next season, right? Maybe Villalta is the third guy that comes up. If there's an injury in the upper level, you see Ingham and Parikh get more games there, and they don't sign a Sparks or a Berube or somebody of that ilk. This
unforgettable vacation. Yeah, they'll be interested to see how they end up shaking that out. Obviously, I think a big question mark is Jonathan Quick and whether or not he stays in. I think it's more of a talking point if the Kings are out of it at this point, right? And they're going to deal him perhaps to a contender that could need a goalie. So with where the Kings are in the standings, I think that's got to be off the table at this point. And if that's the case, I think I would be pretty surprised if they dealt him in the off season, but you never know.
If they make the playoffs, he has to stay, right? I mean,
like, I would imagine
unless you're getting unless Cal just lights it up, but then who's trading for Quick at that point? You know, I don't really see it. The only way Quick moves is at the deadline, but then you have to be confident that Cal is going to be able to lead you. And then why are you dealing a goalie who has been good this season if you're in a playoff push?
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. In which case, I would agree that I think it's pretty unlikely he would move in the offseason. The only scenario I think I could see it is just cap stuff. If they go out and if they're looking to get a big time forward, if they're going to they want to get a Phil Forsberg, or they want to bring in a big defenseman, it's going to cost some money. You know, maybe that's the route they go is Quick on the way out. But again,
Kempe scores 50 and gets $10 million.
Oh, right. Exactly. So, you know, I think that's the only thing I can see. So right now, I don't know. I think, in Ingham, he's very young still. So there's no, it's not like there needs to be these alarm bells going off for a 21-year-old who, has had a couple of shaky starts. It's okay. I mean, I think it's going to take a little bit of time. I think it takes time in general for the goalies to kind of develop and come through. And I think we've seen big improvements from Manny Villalta this year. So, you know, perhaps we start to see some of that going into next season for Ingham as well.
Yeah. So it's something to see there. And by the way, people, I was joking. I don't think that, hopefully Kempe does score 50 goals. And I'll be glad to be wrong about that, but I don't think that that's going to happen. And I don't think he's going to get 11 million. So don't at me on Twitter. Moving on, let's go to Rain Star of the Week. And I know we usually do whoever besides Furk and Tynan, but I think we just got I think that COVID made Furk stronger. He kind of like the Hulk used, all the radiation to become the Hulk. I think Furk, he became stronger and came back with a vengeance. And he's my Rain Player of the Week or Star of the Week.
Yeah, how could he not be when he picks up 7 points, hit the hat trick on Saturday? He's been a freak. He's just been a freak. And I always find it I find it impressive when guys can come down and still perform after that at the high level after, you know, having a bit of time in the NHL, maybe a little bit of disappointment coming down. He scores a hat trick right off the hop. So good on him.
Who, if you're going to go with another player, who would you pick there?
You know, again, obviously the absent Furk and Tynan, it's going to be a little bit off the radar. I think he's a guy that, They acquired, and he came over in the Boko Mama deal, and it's Braden Burke. He was third star of the game on Sunday. He picked up 4 points in the two games. He's been a solid depth player. He's played up and down the lineup. He's played top line with Tynan and Furk a lot of times this season, and he's played down on lines with Sutter, and he's been an effective player. I know he's not a Kings prospect, but he's a young player, a depth player in the organization, and I think he's done a really, really nice job in his first year in Ontario. So I'm going to give him the nod for my Star of the Week these last couple of games.
Yeah, we got to throw it around. I mean, we can call it the Furk Player of the Week because it typically goes to him or to Tynan, but you know, Burke's been a very solid this season. Under the radar transaction in that deal. And we like to see him, often plays with the Tynan and Furk line and getting some rub this weekend with getting rewarded on the score sheet. So that's definitely a good there. I think that's going to be it, my man. We're looking at four games. Let me reshout those out. Wednesday, Thursday. So back-to-back starting tomorrow, or by the time this thing comes out, it'll be pretty much the game we'll be on at San Jose Barracuda. Yeah, you're looking at Saturday the 29th at Stockton Heat, and then Monday, January 31st versus San Jose. So for all you live listeners, the schedule coming up, you can get up early and watch the Barracuda. If you're listening to this in your car, stuck on the 405, then, well, you're too late for the Wednesday game there, and you can look at the highlights. After this weekend, though, I just got to give a shout-out. Tynan second in the league in scoring, 6 goals, 33 assists at 39 points. Furk moved out of the top 10 with his 7-point performance this weekend, back into number 5, 18 goals, 18 assists, 36 points. So not just doing it with lighting the lamp, getting the apples too.
Absolutely. I mean, it's great to see. It's nice to just look up at the standing or the league leaders too, and see the Rain guys up there. I think that's always nice.
Yeah. So, we talked about some good ones, Jad getting some nods, Spence getting up there in the assists. Mm-hmm. So a lot of players are starting to develop, hitting their stride. And I'm not going to say this too many more times because it's just going to be a fruition. Is the healthier the Kings get, the healthier the Rain are going to get. And then what players are going to be coming in after their season's end? Are we going to see a Martin Kromiak help, he's going to probably be on the third line. Will Brock Faber go pro and play on the right side with Granz and Spence and have that loaded right side there? Who's to know how it's going to go, which players are going which directions? It's going to be a wild ride, and we're here to cover it every week. As always, you can look us up on all of our articles at hockeyroyalty.com. Articles pumping out every single day. Our team is a factory, a machine of content. Going there, we have our Kings content. Another podcast came out today with the guys doing the Kings group. Yep. Next week, we will be doing a midway through the season Kings and Rain edition on two separate nights. So I will be hosting both of those. So they will both be live. Come on, ask us our questions, have fun in the chat, which you guys have been doing. And then you could find us on Twitter at @hockey_royalty. I'm at @RandoCommando24. And where can they find you, Joe?
At JW Paterino.
So we're always there to answer your questions. Love talking to you guys on Twitter. Love watching good hockey right now. Can't beat it, right? Kings are in second place. Rain are in second place. Goals are a-flowing, at least for one team. Some more difficult wins for the Kings. But, hey, a W is a W. Points are points. And we got to see some silky mitts from Byfield last night getting the shootout goal. So we got to love
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to sign off, my friend. Good talking to you, Joe. And as always, go Rain, go. Go Kings, go.
Have a good one.